You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And you're probably actually saying, wow, she's really old if she's done all of that. But yes, those were all very true things. And I am thrilled to be in this place of honor to serve you this year. And I can't wait till I hear you all worship in this place again without masks. Let's hope that comes soon, okay? But you know, yeah, as we begin this year, I thought it would be important for you to know a little bit about me, and you heard some of that, so let me just reiterate that. First of all, you heard that I grew up in Michigan. And as a Michigander, you know what we do. We're very obnoxious, and the first thing we say is, where are you from? And we hold up the mitt, right? Yeah, okay. So, there you go. I am from that little place not far from Detroit called Walled Lake, and so I grew up my whole life as a Michigander. And you know, as a Michigander, the first thing you have to ask is, are you blue or green? And for me, yep, go blue. Yeah, that's probably been one of the hardest things, moving 3 miles from Notre Dame. But I'm also green in a little way because you heard. Yeah, big Green Bay Packer fan. As a matter of fact, love football. I think I'm starting my 13th year in fantasy football on a league. And my draft is next week. So if you have any tips, I'm open. Would love to hear about that. You also heard, as Sean introduced, that I've loved sports all my life. So even in school, I played sports. But I am probably the most unphotographed child in America. I don't know why, but I was the youngest, and you know, times were hard, and cameras were expensive, and film was expensive. But I'm kind of the most unphotographed. But there was a photograph of me at 4 years of age. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually a fake smile. I was not excited at all about a frilly dress. I was hoping it was a toy, but I was trying to be polite. But like I said, no other pictures of me. But I did, as you heard, I did play sports. For instance, I played basketball. I played tennis, softball, I think. Softball, yeah, I played softball. Yeah, and it actually was the Warriors. And I played tennis. I was in the marching band, and I was a cheerleader. So, you know, like I said, sorry about that, but most unphotographed child in America. But after high school, I went on to college, and I went to a college much like Bethel. And then I got an education degree, and I taught school, and I absolutely loved it. But then as I began to teach, I wanted to be involved in giving students the same experience I had in college. And so I became an education professor and began to be drawn, as you heard, into leadership roles. And here I am. Well, there's a lot more that happened in those years. And one of these days, I hope I'm face-to-face with you so we can have those longer talks. For instance, you notice there's no first family. There's no picture of a husband. But I do have a dog, a first dog, we could call it. Yeah, yeah. And you heard I have some farm animals, and a lot of people tell me that's like having a husband. So... So like I said, someday I hope I'm in a smaller setting with you that we can unpack more about how God has led me in my journey. However, right now I have much more important things to talk to you about than me. For instance, you probably should know that at my age, I just finally got my first tattoo. A friend went with me, just to prove this, a friend went with me and took pictures. And you might think, what would a woman my age, why would I decide to get my first tattoo? And of all things, on my foot. Do you have any idea how painful that is? Some of you can see that. It's on my foot. If you've ever done that, it's, I guess, very, very painful, you know. So why would I do that? Why would I go to all this pain at my age? Well, the reason is I am fired up about what is going to be our theme for this year. What can Bethel University unitedly go forward? What can we have on our heart together this year? What can we talk about in the class, in the dorm, Bible studies, on the sports fields? What can be our theme? Because you see, we're not the only university in America. There are thousands. We're not the largest institution in America. We're not even the largest institution in a 3-mile radius. We're not the only Christian institution in America. We're not even the only Christian institution in northern Indiana. So what is it? What is it that can distinguish Bethel in the midst of thousands of universities? Well, you might say location, and we do. We have an ideal location. I loved seeing the pictures of you all out and about in South Bend. We're not in a cornfield. I'll just say that. And we're not in a deep in inner city where we can't navigate to the places we might want to. So location is good. We also have strong mentoring. You've heard that. A lot of institutions talk about mentoring. Bethel does mentoring. But what else? What else can we do to collectively move forward and have some unique kind of vision for this year? So here's my thinking. At a time when our culture is, I guess we would say, kind of hyper-jacked up on being self-indulgent, what if we were known as an institution whose students are the least self-indulgent or the least self-centered? What if we became known for our selfless acts and focus on what is best for others rather than ourselves? I was reading a little bit about this, and I was shocked by a phrase I came across. The phrase says this: consistent self-indulgence produces self-imposed anxiety. Self-indulgence produces anxiety. How could that be? How could anxiety increase in self-indulgence? Because you'd think indulging yourself would actually create more satisfaction and calmness. But it's actually just the opposite. And by the way, when I talk about anxiety, I'm not talking about a clinical diagnosis, but something seriously self-imposed. How could that be? Trying to please myself actually makes myself less pleased with myself? Well, it happens because we were not created to be self-focused, self-indulged, self-centered. Instead, God created us to serve people through good works. Do you remember some of those verses? Ephesians 2 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." We were created to do good works. Even Jesus, in Mark, we're told, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Our whole created purpose is to do good works by serving God and serving others, not to be self-indulgent. So follow me here. When you try to do something that you were not created to do, you will always be frustrated and anxious. You weren't created to be self-indulgent, and so to be self-centered will always make you frustrated, which can be another way of leading toward anxiety. You were not created to be calmed or satisfied through self-centered choices. Let me give you a real simple example here. You all have gotten to enjoy our new athletic training center, the Lehman Center. It's fabulous, isn't it? I mean, probably, seriously, one only like it in east of the Mississippi River. It's just a fabulous place. But what if we decided, just beside it, that we would build an Olympic-sized swimming pool? Swimmers, you would like that? And so we're going to build this great pool for hot days like this. It'd be great hanging around. And so I would talk to our director of maintenance. I'd say, Joe Zappia, Joe, let's get this thing going. And I would hand him a teaspoon. And I would say, go dig it. He would have me committed, I'm quite sure. A teaspoon was not created to dig a swimming pool. Now, it's a simple example. But you understand, he would be quite frustrated trying to use something that was not created. Instead, you heard I drove heavy equipment. He needs a piece of heavy equipment to come in there and just dig that thing out. You have to do what you were created to do. We were not created to be people of self-indulgence. Another verse in Luke says, "For whoever wants to save their life must lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake will save it." One of those paradoxes. Tim Keller put it this way, lose yourself to find yourself, which means you want to die to your old approach to identity and get a new self identity. Constant focus on self will always produce frustration. God wants you to be free from self-imposed anxiety. And so, I'm claiming for us a verse this year. I want this to be our theme verse. And again, please use it in every setting you find yourself where you're referring to Scripture and referring to our vision and mission. The verse is short, and it comes out of John 3, verse 30, and it says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease." We must put others before ourselves and exalt Jesus Christ in so doing. Mother Teresa said it this way one time, "Help one person at a time and start with the person nearest to you." Just start there. He must be my constant focus, not myself. Let's be that campus. Let's be the campus known for the least self-centered students. There are opportunities during this year. We're going to have a service day where we literally cancel classes and we go out into the community and serve. But you know, you don't have to wait for that day. You heard what she said, Mother Teresa. Start with the person nearest you. Serve each other. Put others before you. Let's become the least self-indulgent campus. Look for every opportunity. I asked some really creative people on campus, is there a way that you could help me visualize this idea? Kind of, not an emoji, but the idea of a symbol or a mark. And they did, and I love it. This is going to be our symbol or our mark for this year, made by your own people. And the visual of this is clear. He must increase. I must decrease. This is a unique symbol just for us this year. So, yep, that's what's tattooed on my foot. And that's the last time you'll see a picture of my foot, I hope, in chapel. I do have a little confession. I guess when you walk into a tattoo joint, they can't just make up the tattoo on the spot. So this is a henna tattoo for now, all right? But could God still burn this on our hearts? Could he tattoo it, in a sense, on our hearts? By the way, I've got about 20 of these, first come, first serve. put it on your foot, take a picture, put it on Instagram, all right? First come, first serve. 20 of them, let's do it. I have another reminder for you, because I seriously want this to be our verse and our symbol for this year. He must increase and I must decrease. We can't be the most unique university in America in many other categories. But boy, we can be known for the least self-indulgent. And I'm thrilled that we can focus on that today. But as a reminder, something else just to help you focus on this. As you leave today, we had some zipper pulls created with that emblem, with that look. And I want each of you to take one of these. Put it on your book bag, put it on your gym bag, put it on something you use every day. And as you think of that, as you use it, Lord, he must increase and I must decrease. We must stay focused on that. I want everybody to have a chance to make sure you get one of the zipper pulls. And so for our prayer in closing, we're going to sing our prayer. We're going to have the band come back up, and Sean and a pianist, and we're going to sing the prayer. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this prayer that God would use this campus to magnify him and keep us as people who serve others and are not self-indulgent. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.